Star Wars isn't just a movie franchise, it's a cultural touchstone that has permeated nearly every aspect of global society. With over $30 billion in revenue across films, books, toys, and merchandise, its economic impact rivals the GDP of mid-sized nations. Beyond numbers, its influence extends from presidential debates to international diplomacy, creating a shared language that transcends borders and generations. What began as George Lucas's attempt to recreate Flash Gordon has become our era's defining mythology, embraced by everyone from philosophers to physicists. Even those who've never seen the films recognize Darth Vader's silhouette and can hum John Williams' iconic theme. The saga's enduring power lies in its ability to speak to universal human experiences while remaining open to endless interpretation. A modern myth that continues to evolve while maintaining its essential truth about the power of choice in an uncertain universe. Great creators rarely follow a grand plan. They improvise, making choices that lead them in unexpected directions. This myth of creative foresight perfectly describes George Lucas's journey creating Star Wars. Despite later claims that he always intended a six-part saga about Darth Vader's fall and redemption, the truth is far messier and more fascinating. Lucas simply wanted to make a Flash Gordon film, but couldn't afford the rights. His creative process was agonizing, a visual thinker forcing himself to write, pulling out his hair in frustration, producing multiple discarded drafts before finding his story. Early versions featured bizarre character names like Emperor Ford Xerxes, references to Hubble people, and a Journal of the Wills narrated by C.J. Thape. After his agent rejected his initial concept, Lucas borrowed heavily from Akira Kurosawa's The Hidden Fortress, adopting the perspective of two bickering characters who would become R2-D2 and C-3PO. This early draft featured a rebel princess and General Luke Skywalker, with Darth Vader as merely a minor general who died at the end, not Luke's father or even an important character. The iconic "I am your father" revelation came very late in the creative process, fundamentally transforming the story. After releasing A New Hope, Lucas still described a potential sequel where Vader kills Luke's father, showing he hadn't yet conceived of Vader as Luke's father. Lucas later admitted to the writers of Lost, "Don't tell anyone, but when Star Wars first came out, I didn't know where it was going either. The trick is to pretend you've planned the whole thing out in advance." This revelation likely arrived as a creative thunderclap, perhaps when Lucas wrote Vader saying, "We will rule the galaxy as father and son." The best revelations produce both astonishment and recognition, a feeling that everything now makes sense in a pattern that feels inevitable, even if entirely unanticipated. Making Luke and Leia twins presented an even greater narrative challenge. When writing A New Hope and Empire, Lucas clearly didn't intend them to be siblings. The sexual tension was deliberate, with Lucas stating in 1976 that who Leia ends up with is anybody's guess. The twins' revelation solved multiple problems, explaining Yoda's cryptic "there is another" line, resolving the romantic triangle, and eliminating the need for a third trilogy featuring Luke's sister from the other side of the universe. During the writing of Return of the Jedi, a fundamental clash occurred between two creative visions. Screenwriter Lawrence Kasdan suggested killing Luke or Yoda to give the story edge, arguing that losing someone you love gives a journey more emotional impact. Lucas firmly rejected this. "I don't like that, and I don't believe that." For Lucas, Star Wars was ultimately a fairy tale where everyone should live happily ever after. Despite its eventual cultural dominance, Star Wars was initially expected to fail spectacularly. The movie's financial success was staggering, breaking records immediately upon release, with half of Benton County, Oregon seeing it within months and 42 theaters screening it continuously for over a year. It earned $307 million in its first run, 240% of the year's second highest grosser, boosted Fox's stock from $6 to $27 per share, and has made an inflation-adjusted $1.55 billion overall, second only to Gone with the Wind. Ironically, before its release, nobody thought that it was going to be a big hit. Fox executives showed basic apathy toward the project and hoped a lot of times that it would just go away. Lucas had to fund parts of production with his personal American Graffiti earnings. Even after viewing a rough cut, the Fox board showed no applause, not even a smile. And the studio made fewer than 100 prints, demonstrating their lack of faith. Lucas himself projected earnings of only $16 million, claiming the chances of doing better were a zillion to one. The cast and crew were equally pessimistic. Anthony Daniels thought they were making a complete turkey. Harrison Ford found the giant guy in a dog suit ridiculous, and David Prowse considered it a load of rubbish. Mark Hamill struggled to keep a straight face during filming, and sound designer Ben Burtt's highest hope was a table at next year's Star Trek convention. Even after opening weekend crowds, Lucas remained skeptical. Science fiction films get this little group of sci-fi fans. They'll come to anything in the first week. Just wait. No one predicted the phenomenon Star Wars would become, a cultural juggernaut that would reshape filmmaking, merchandising, and popular culture for generations to come. Why do some cultural products succeed while others fail? Star Wars offers a fascinating case study for exploring three competing hypotheses about cultural success. The first hypothesis suggests that intrinsic quality determines success. Star Wars couldn't possibly have failed because it was simply too awesome, energetic, spirited, and original. As Lawrence Kasdan puts it, it's fun, it's delightful, it moves like a son of a bitch, and you don't question too much. According to this view, great works inevitably rise to the top. Shakespeare, Dickens, Mozart, and even Taylor Swift were destined for success. Quality is both necessary and sufficient. The second hypothesis argues that while quality is necessary, it's insufficient. Success requires social influences and echo chambers to generate excitement. Many excellent works exist that nobody's heard of. What matters is whether a bandwagon effect develops, people liking something because others like it. George Lucas produced tremendous films, but was supremely lucky that a massive bandwagon effect developed. The third hypothesis suggests what matters is the relationship between the product and the cultural moment of its release. Some works hit a particular cultural nerve that's both necessary and sufficient for success. Star Wars wasn't originally called A New Hope, but everyone understood it that way because that's exactly what it was. After the tumult of the 1960s, the assassinations of the Kennedys, Martin Luther King Jr., and Malcolm X, people craved optimism and exhilaration. Social scientists Sauganick, Watts, and Dodds created an artificial music market called the Music Lab to study cultural success. Half the participants made independent judgments about songs, while the other half could see how many times each song had been downloaded. The results were striking. Initial popularity largely determined final success. While truly terrible songs rarely succeeded and exceptional ones rarely failed completely, within a wide range, success depended primarily on social influences. Literary history reveals how profoundly accident and contingency shape artistic reputations. H.J. Jackson's study shows that during their lifetimes, now canonical figures like Wordsworth, Keats, and Austen were considered equals to now forgotten writers like Crabbe, Cornwall, and Brunton. Keats died believing he had failed, instructing that his gravestone bear only, "Here lies one whose name was writ in water." His eventual fame came through overlapping networks of admirers decades after his death. Star Wars benefits from network effects. Its value increases with the number of people engaging with it. Unlike solitary pleasures, Star Wars becomes more valuable as a shared cultural touchpoint. People want to understand references to characters like Kylo, Han, or Chewbacca to participate in conversations. As Anne Friedman notes about The Force Awakens, "I was going to see it because all my friends were going to see it. I was in the grip of an increasingly rare phenomenon, a true mass cultural event. Quality undeniably contributed to A New Hope's success. Fox executive Gareth Wiggin called it the greatest film he'd ever seen after crying during an early screening, while Steven Spielberg declared it the greatest movie ever made. Audience reaction was immediate and electric. At the first public screening, viewers cheered from beginning to credits. Critics were equally enthusiastic, with Vincent Canby calling it the most elaborate, most expensive, most beautiful movie serial ever made. While some argue Star Wars succeeded because it perfectly matched the cultural moment of 1977, this zeitgeist explanation may be grasping at straws. One could easily construct similar arguments for why Star Wars would succeed in any decade, 1957, 1987, or 2027. Whenever cultural products succeed, we tend to retroactively create narratives about perfect timing that may not actually explain anything. Unlike political platforms or religious tracts, Star Wars invites open interpretation rather than dictating what to think. This openness allows it to resonate broadly as its meanings remain flexible while still grounded in the material. With a nod to Wallace Stevens, here are several different perspectives on Star Wars. Star Wars can be read as an essentially Christian tale of sacrifice, love, and redemption. Anakin's virgin birth parallels Christ, though he becomes both sinner and savior. His fall comes through Satan's promise of immortality for loved ones, but he ultimately defeats temptation by sacrificing himself for his son. Luke, too, can be seen as a Christ figure who avoids crucifixion. The saga presents its own Holy Trinity while exploring themes of freedom, redemption, and good news that resonate deeply with Christian theology. Alternatively, Star Wars can be understood as a deeply Freudian, Oedipal story about fathers, sons, and unavailable mothers. Fatherless Anakin searches desperately for paternal figures, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, the Emperor, while falling for Padme, an older maternal figure. His path to darkness begins when his mother dies, suggesting complex maternal attachment. The Oedipal theme becomes unmistakable in The Force Awakens when Kylo Ren kills his own father. Is Star Wars feminist or retrograde? The Force Awakens clearly champions equality with Rey as the unambiguous hero who kicks Darkseid ass, plus General Leia and Captain Phasma in leadership positions. The original trilogy presents a more complex case. Leia was revolutionary for the 1970s as a military leader who could command and shoot rather than merely needing rescue. Even the much-maligned Padme shows strength as queen and senator with political insight exceeding the male characters. Star Wars can be interpreted as profoundly political, championing Jeffersonian ideals about the necessity of rebellion. Just as Jefferson believed a little rebellion now and then is a good thing, the series positions resistance against tyranny as essential. Lucas reportedly saw the Emperor as a Nixon-like figure and even compared the rebels to Vietnamese fighters. The consistent opposition between order and freedom of choice runs through the entire saga. Star Wars brilliantly illustrates behavioral economics concepts. Characters display textbook cognitive biases. Vader and Palpatine suffer from overconfidence and optimistic bias. Everything is happening as I have foreseen. Han Solo demonstrates unrealistic optimism. Never tell me the odds. Luke and Rey exhibit status quo bias and inertia in their initial reluctance to leave their lives behind. The Force itself might represent the ability to overcome these human limitations. The Jedi philosophy bears striking similarities to Buddhism. Yoda physically resembles Buddha and emphasizes detachment and transcending negative emotions through serenity. His teaching that fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering, parallels Buddha's Four Noble Truths. The Jedi Order mirrors Buddhist monasticism, with Master Padawan relationships emphasizing mindfulness and being present. Star Wars is fundamentally about fathers, sons, and redemption. The saga explores the indispensability of paternal love and the lengths people will go to obtain it. To every child, a father can seem like Vader, powerful, potentially frightening, with access to both light and dark sides. George Lucas's own troubled relationship with his domineering father influenced the creation of the Vader-Luke dynamic. Lucas's father wanted him to join the family stationery business, leading to what Lucas called this big break when he refused at 18. Though estranged for years, they eventually reconciled, with Lucas noting poignantly, "You only have to accomplish one thing in life, and that's to make your parents proud of you." Later, Lucas abandoned filmmaking for 2 decades to raise his own children, stating his desire for his obituary to begin, "I was a great dad." When adults are asked about their greatest regrets, many answer either, "I wasn't good enough to my parents," or "I wasn't a good enough parent." These regrets become especially painful when reconciliation is no longer possible. Star Wars speaks to these universal feelings, suggesting that redemption through love and forgiveness is always possible. The first 2 Star Wars trilogies chronicled the redemption of Anakin Skywalker through love and attachment. The same attachment that drove Anakin to the dark side, his inability to lose his beloved, ultimately brings him back to the light when he can't bear to see his son die. Redemption comes through forgiveness, as Luke forgives his father despite his monstrous acts. Lucas noted, "Only through the love of his children and the compassion of his children, who believe in him, though he's a monster, does he redeem himself." In the climactic redemption scene, Luke refuses to leave his dying father behind. As Anakin's mask is removed, revealing his scarred face, he smiles at his son one last time. "You were right about me. Tell your sister, you were right," he says with his final breath. For all the criticism of Lucas's dialogue skills, this moment delivers emotional perfection. Despite Yoda's teachings about detachment, Anakin is ultimately redeemed not through serenity, but through love and attachment, the very qualities that led to his fall. In the shadow of the Nixon era and Cold War tensions, Star Wars celebrates not just political freedom, but the deeper human capacity for choice. Lawrence Kasdan notes that Star Wars fundamentally asks, "What am I? What am I about? Have I fulfilled my potential? And if not, is there still time?" Whether farm boys, scavengers, or stormtroopers, the heroes transcend their circumstances by exercising free will. Star Wars celebrates the liberation that comes from asking fundamental questions about one's identity and purpose. Luke, Han, Rey, Finn all make pivotal choices that define them, breaking free from their prescribed paths. The exhilaration of Star Wars comes not just from special effects, but from watching characters exercise their freedom against overwhelming odds, choosing their own destinies rather than accepting what others have planned for them. Star Wars takes a clear position in the philosophical debate between free will and determinism. While behavioral science shows our environment shapes many choices, the saga insists on our fundamental freedom to choose our path. It aligns with philosopher Harry Frankfurt's view that free will exists when we act according to our second-order desires, what we want to want, rather than immediate impulses. The brilliance of the prequels lies in how they mirror the original trilogy's choices under nearly identical conditions. As Lucas noted, Luke is faced with the same issues and practically the same scenes that Anakin is faced with. Anakin says yes, and Luke says no. When confronted with visions of suffering loved ones, both leave their training but make different choices afterward. When facing defeated enemies, Luke spares his father while Anakin beheads Count Dooku. Despite talk of destiny and prophecy, Star Wars consistently emphasizes personal choice. Padme insists there's always a choice, words that may have echoed in Anakin's mind when he later saved Luke. Throughout the saga, characters face critical decision points. Leia notes, "A man must follow his own path," while Obi-Wan tells Luke to do what you think is right. Lucas himself observed that life sends you down funny paths, and you get many opportunities to keep your eyes open. Star Wars carries a universal political message that resonates regardless of one's convictions. It pits empires against republics, order against resistance, with heroes who are rebels fighting to restore peace and justice. Lucas modeled Emperor Palpatine on Richard Nixon, with Vietnam as backdrop, describing Star Wars as essentially a large technological empire going after a small group of freedom fighters. Star Wars obsesses over the separation of powers, contrasting democratic systems with fascist ones. The saga questions the constraints on executive authority and explores when officials might claim supreme power. Palpatine rises precisely because of the Republic's legislative gridlock, exploiting their ceaseless, pointless squabbling. Padme laments, "I was not elected to watch my people suffer and die while you discuss this invasion in committee." While Anakin dangerously suggests politicians who can't agree should be made to. The Star Wars saga consistently warns against concentrated government power. In Revenge of the Sith, observers note, "The Senate has surrendered so much power, it's hard to see where his authority stops." While in A New Hope, Tarkin announces, "The Imperial Senate will no longer be of any concern to us." Lucas researched historical transitions from democracy to dictatorship, studying Caesar, Napoleon, and especially Hitler, whose rise parallels Palpatine's. Luke Skywalker and Martin Luther King Jr. share a common trait as rebels who connect people to their past rather than seeking total revolution. Burke's conservative insight that the whole chain and continuity of the Commonwealth provides meaning resonates even with rebels. In Star Wars, the rebels seek a restoration of the Republic, making them the true conservatives, while Emperor Palpatine is the revolutionary. Rebellions consistently catch political leaders by surprise. From the American Revolution to the Arab Spring, authorities fail to anticipate revolutionary movements. This blindness stems from leaders being insulated by sycophants, offering happy talk, and their tendency to believe what they want to believe. Political upheavals remain unpredictable because they depend on social dynamics, what each person thinks others think. In truly repressive societies, predicting rebellions becomes nearly impossible because people falsify their preferences and beliefs. Like Luke initially claiming, "It's all such a long way from here," while secretly hating the empire, citizens hide their true feelings for fear of punishment. This creates pluralistic ignorance. Citizens have no idea what their fellow citizens truly believe. When some brave souls begin expressing dissatisfaction, others might realize a rebellion could succeed, potentially turning the world upside down. The Force grants its masters extraordinary abilities, controlling weak minds, extracting information, sensing unseen objects, glimpsing the future, releasing deadly energy, racing pods expertly, sensing people's locations, making people choke, throwing people around, jumping with surprising speed, levitating objects, especially lightsabers, fighting spectacularly with lightsabers, feeling disturbances triggered by major events, returning after death, and firing missiles into Death Star vulnerabilities. Many real-world abilities mirror Jedi powers. Advertisers and politicians control minds through framing and manipulation. Behavioral scientists distinguish between fast thinking, System 1, and slow thinking, System 2, with Jedi appealing to the intuitive System 1. Great athletes demonstrate uncanny pattern recognition, seeming to have eyes in back of their head, not magic, but highly trained intuition from practice. Human attention has limits that enable Jedi mind tricks. In the famous Invisible Gorilla experiment, most viewers counting basketball passes miss a person in a gorilla costume walking through the scene. This inattentional blindness reveals how we experience less of our visual world than we believe. Professional magicians exploit this limited mental bandwidth through misdirection. The Force transcends psychology and magic, requiring a leap of faith. Lucas, fascinated by religion since childhood, wanted to create a concept of religion based on the premise that there is a God and there is good and evil. Star Wars deliberately borrows from various religious traditions, reflecting Lucas's belief that all religions essentially worship the same God. Heavily influenced by Joseph Campbell, Lucas structured Star Wars around the monomyth, or hero's journey. A hero reluctantly accepts a call to adventure, receives supernatural aid, undergoes trials, resists temptation, reconciles with his father, and returns home transformed. This pattern appears in countless myths, religions, and modern stories. Lucas consciously recreated these mythological motifs in an accessible form that resonated globally, creating what Campbell recognized as genuine art, a spiritual quest that insists redemption is always possible and freedom is never an illusion. Born as a Flash Gordon knockoff, Star Wars has become like air, permanently embedded in our culture. Its 1977 release provided a much-needed lift after years of national turmoil, while the 2015 relaunch tapped into nostalgia during difficult times. Star Wars creates shared experiences in a fragmented world, providing connective tissue across generations and political divides. Star Wars resonates because it speaks to universal human experiences while allowing diverse interpretations. It draws on historical patterns of fallen empires and fascism without being didactic. The Force remains mysterious yet recognizable, acknowledging both light and darkness within the human heart. Most powerfully, Star Wars captures the deep, ambivalent feelings between parents and children, creating moments of profound intimacy amid the space opera spectacle. Despite its talk of destiny, Star Wars ultimately celebrates freedom of choice. Farm boys, smugglers, stormtroopers, and scavengers can all decide to change history through personal agency. Though it pays tribute to detachment, its rebel heart embraces intense attachments to particular people, even against overwhelming odds. At its core, Star Wars is about the most essential feature of the human condition, making choices in the face of an uncertain future.